Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Imran, the Don Khan.
Howdy.
Imran, how's it going? I feel like it's been a minute.
It has been a minute. I think last week was me and Fran. So it's been at least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't remember past a week ago. Like
Last week was you and Fran. I think the week before that was when we had all the black voices on the show. I think before that might have been the Funhouse week. And I think the week before that, it might have been you and Fran again, because like one of the weeks I had a nosebleed that was like not stopping. And I was like, I cannot be on the show today because for some reason I just got a random nosebleed that like ruined the rest of my day in terms of shows. But
Yeah, I never knew why. I just at some point I woke up, was like, oh, you're hosting today. I was like, cool, sure.
Yeah, no, I text. So. Let's get it. So I texted Greg. This is like legit, like me getting ready to be on the show and all that stuff. And like I was in the shower and all of a sudden, like my nose starts bleeding, which is the thing that happens. Like that's the thing that throughout my life, like that's been an issue. Like my nose will just bleed at random times. Usually when the season changed or like something's going on climate wise. I don't know why my body responds to weather and climate that way, but it does. And so I'll get nosebleeds. And it was one of those things where it happened and I was like, all right, I'll clean this up. Hopefully this will last like 10 minutes. I know how to deal with a nosebleed. And it kept going and going and going to the point where I was like, I don't think I can be on shows today, because if this stops, it might start up again during a show, which would probably be a disaster. That would probably be like an experience that we wouldn't want to play out. it'd be great content probably, but I wouldn't want to risk it. And so, yeah, I like messaged Greg and I was like, Greg, there's an emergency. I don't know if I can be on Games Daily today. And I think that's when he tagged in Fran, which is awesome because Fran needs to be on the show more. We don't get enough Fran.
Yeah. There was a time where I was coming to the show, like I was getting out of the bathroom behind me, and I like just, you know how you sometimes just kick a door accidentally, like not hard, but it's enough to stub your toe.
Oh yeah.
I kicked the door. My toe itself did not, the big toe did not hurt, but it did damage the door. And it was like a half second was like, I wonder if I should call off the show just in case, like, my toe is broken. I don't realize it.
Just in case the toe falls off in the middle of the show.
And you can't, that would also be a thing we don't want to play out. Yeah,
exactly. Imran, have you been keeping up with all the different game showcases and everything going on over the last, let's say, 5 days?
If by keeping up, you mean I see on Twitter that it's happening and I'm like, oh, I should probably watch this. I don't have like a schedule in front of me because I can afford not to do that. But it's like, I watched the PS5 reveal, and every other show since then has been like, oh, that's a thing on Twitter. I should get logged onto Twitch and actually watch this.
What have been some announcements that particularly have spoken to you?
The Bugsnax song has been stuck in my head for
I love it so much. Bugsnax has also been stuck in my head. And also, like, the more and more I think about that game, the more and more I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones.
The Horizon trailer was weird because I had not finished Horizon by the time that game came or that trailer was shown. So, like, the fact that Lance Reddick was in that has made every interaction with Lance Reddick in the game since then. So I've been continuing to play it after that. It's made every interaction like, I'm very suspicious of you because I don't know why you're in the sequel. So I need to know, like, I'm waiting for a turn of some sort of, like, why would they show Lance Reddick? Is it because he's a star or because he's important?
Yeah, no, definitely. And those are always the interesting things. I remember I had a friend, my friend Alex, when they showed the Last of Us Part 2 trailer for the first time, he hadn't played the Last of Us 1. And he was planning to play the Last of Us 1. And I remember him asking me questions because I guess he thought the Last of Us 1 ended a certain way. And when he saw the Last of Us Part 2 trailer, he was like, all right, so like, what's going on here? Because I didn't know whether Joel survived in the Last of Us 1 or not. Like, how does that stuff play out? And I had to explain.
Did he finish? Like, he played the game. He just did not finish it.
He hadn't played it. Started it. But like, I guess he just never got around to actually finishing it. And so he had things that he assumed as far as how it ended, because I think he thought he was spoiled, but he wasn't really spoiled. And so it was one of those ones where I was like, just finish the game. It'll make sense what you get there. Everything's okay. Just don't pay attention to the next trailer or to the second trailer. To which I'll say to you, don't even mind the Horizon Forbidden West trailer. Just like keep your head just directly in Horizon Zero Dawn. And once you get there, you'll get there.
I was gonna finish last night because there was a point where Lance Reddick straight up says like, if you have anything to do, do it now, because once you do this, you're not gonna come back. And then that was like 4 hours of gameplay after that. And there was a point where I'm like climbing a mountain. And he's like, this mountain's full of monsters. It is full of robots that are going to like attack your return. It's like, it's midnight. I'm not going to finish this game right now. I'm going to wait. So I'm somewhere close to the end of that game.
Are you enjoying it? Where.
I'm enjoying it a decent bit. It's the most beautiful game I've ever seen. I think I really like it. I can kind of see where some of the things that were annoying me at first go by the wayside, and there's some other ways the systems interact. Horizon's an exhausting game. That's, I think, the best thing I can say about it. That's not meant to be a negative thing. It's an exhausting game because it's a thing where an open world where every enemy is trying to kill you constantly.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they did that was because they figured, okay, people are going to fast travel everywhere, so we might as well give them an open world that's challenging to get to places the first time. And that totally makes sense, except for the fact that it's so resource-oriented, so that those systems kind of collide, that I don't fast travel everywhere because I want to gather resources for arrows and medicine and animals and all that jazz. And as I'm doing that, I'm constantly having to duck all these giant enemies that are trying to kill me. So I'm constantly like tired by the game. Not that I dislike it, not that I'm not enjoying it. It's that I have to always be on with it. And that is much more exhausting in an open world game than I would have thought.
Yeah, I had actually the exact same experience. I remember trying to gather resources, and whenever I would try to just knock off checklist things, I remember getting attacked by the machines and being like, all right, guys, just leave me alone, please. Just for a good 10 minutes, just leave me alone, because I just want to gather flowers so I can have health.
A potion that just enemies don't attack me for as long as I'm wearing this. It doesn't work in story missions, it just works in the open world. I would use that for sure.
Yeah, my arc with Horizon Zero Dawn, though, I think is kind of similar, because when I first started that game, there were things that kind of bugged me. And then by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, okay, no, this game really, really, really grew on me in a way where I'm really fascinated by the combat. I think I've said before on the show that I didn't necessarily love the chip damage nature of it because of how it's an action RPG. But it's more action than RPG. When that being the case, I didn't necessarily love how chip damage focused it was, especially with the bow and arrow. But the more and more I played it, the more and more I kind of appreciated it, and especially the combat, the way you feel like you have to kind of deconstruct machines and figure out their weaknesses and all that stuff. That stuff eventually grew on me in a way that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, when it sings beautifully. It's better than Monster Hunter at times. And there's some times where I'm like, oh God, it's another 5 people. I think the encounter design is a little tweak of there's usually 2 to 3 people more than there needs to be. But when you're fighting one-on-one like a giant monster, it's like, okay, this is fantastic. When you're fighting one-on-two, it's like, this is a little less good. And when you're fighting humans, it's like, okay, I wish I was not fighting these people. Mm-hmm. I wish I was fighting monsters instead.
Imran, enough about Horizon Zero Dawn. Let's talk about WB's next game announcement, Nintendo wanting you to jump rope, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when you get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at the patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, EA Play Again is happening this Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific time, and we'll be reacting to it live right here on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames and youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Imran, are you looking forward to the EA Play event? Do you have any predictions of what we might see?
I mean, I was going to say Star Wars, but they went ahead and just kind of announced that Star Wars anyway.
Yeah.
Let's say Skate. I say it every year.
Go hard or go home.
Why the hell not? Maybe this is Skate's year. Tony Hawk is back. They're like, fuck it. We got to launch Skate now. We got to reignite the wars.
One of that I'm going to throw out there that I haven't mentioned yet as far as the prediction that I don't necessarily think is going to happen, but I would be pleased if it did. I would like to see Anthem make a reappearance. I'd like to see them bust out what their vision is for a revamped Anthem, whether it's Anthem 2 or Anthem Next or whatever they call it, because they've been working on it. And I know there have been recent reports of them talking about how they have a small team that is chucking away and trying to bring that game back. Mm-hmm. I hope to see some sort of update on Anthem, because I'd like to see that game kind of make some sort of redemption arc. So that's my prediction. That's what I'm hoping for.
You know what would be cool is an Apex single player. If they were like, yes. Yeah, we've added a single player to Apex. Now you pay $20 to get access to it. It's like a Titanfall caliber campaign. That would be neat.
I want it. I want it so bad. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mamin Muhammad, Connor Nolan, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one. You'll have to wait until August for WB game announcements. This is from Stephanie Nunnally at VG247. According to a press release, DC Fandom, a virtual event focusing on the DC universe, will take place in August, during which time WB Games will make some announcements. It is unknown at present what the company has to announce, but considering it's been teasing a Batman game for what seems like ages, we might finally hear from it. There's also the possibility the company will show off the Harry Potter RPG it has in the works. Maybe the leaks, which popped up online earlier this month, will prove to be true. A report from earlier in the year stated that WB Games was going to host its first ever E3 conference this year, but its plans were scrapped due to the cancellation of E3 2020. Imran, what is up with WB? Because yeah, we heard about this E3 thing that they had planned that probably got scrapped due to COVID and E3's cancellation and all that stuff. What do you think would have been at that conference? And do you think we're going to see all of that at this DC Fandom event?
I would assume that whatever Monolith has been working on would be at that conference, whether it's a new Lord of the Rings game or not. Batman seems most likely, considering they've more or less announced that game. They just haven't said anything meaningful about it. Like, you don't start an ARG for nothing. And Harry Potter does seem like a very logical thing. We know Hitman is not WB now. We know it's IO Interactive. So I would have assumed that would have been a WB conference, but who knows? IO Interactive also did sign a deal with WB last year for a new IP. It may be too early to show that, but maybe they could have like teased it or had some sort of CG trailer for it. But that, honestly, who knows if that game even exists anymore, considering the other, not issues, but turmoil, I guess, WB is in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're in an interesting place with WB Games, because like DC Fandom, right, and them teasing WB game announcements at DC Fandom, that tells me that we're going to see Batman. Like, we have to see Batman. It being an event focused on the DC universe, I feel like Harry Potter would be kind of a weird thing to see there.
Yeah, I saw that paragraph. I was like, it just literally says it's about DC universe.
Yeah, and so like, I'm like, okay, I can't see what we'd see there aside from Batman, or if Rocksteady is working on a Superman game or some kind of DC game, like I'd expect to maybe see it there. But also, like, would they announce those things at the same place at the same time? That feels like it's off in terms of the optics there.
I mean, Rocksteady's never really cared for WB Montreal, apparently. Like, there was that whole thing where they don't really consider Arkham Origins an Arkham game. Like, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they very pointedly went, when Arkham Knight released or was making the media circuits of, this is the end of the Arkham trilogy, people were like, what about Arkham Origins? They're like, we don't talk about that. So I could see if they wanted to, if somebody at WB was like, we should just show these two things, I don't think Rocksteady would care that much. But who knows? I agree with you. I don't think they would show both at once if they're both DC superhero games.
Yeah. And I think that's something, and I think I agree with that. Do you think, what do you think the chances are between a Rocksteady game and the WB Montreal Batman game? What do you think the chances are between those showing up at DC Fandom?
The WB Montreal game sounds more ready for prime time in that they've already been teasing it. So if they had to show one, I think they would show that one. I think once you show the Rocksteady game, you can't show the WB Montreal game, because then it becomes, oh, this is the redhead stepchild of the WB portfolio. So I could see them waiting for this game to be announced, come out, and like get its critical reception before they do anything else with Rocksteady. That said, who knows what Rocksteady's game is? If it's a, like I suspect, an Avengers-like kind of thing, then maybe they just say it as it's a different enough project that we might as well just show it.
Wait, do you think it's Justice League in that case? Like, do you think they're working on that kind of game or like some kind of new IP?
I had heard it was Suicide Squad. I don't know if that's still the case, but that was the thing that I heard a couple of years ago. Granted, again, a couple of years ago, that might have changed, but that, like, I could easily see that being a games as a service thing.
Interesting. We'll have to wait and see. I don't see if Rocksteady came out and they announced a games as a service type of game, I feel like I personally would be very bummed about it. Like seeing what Rocksteady has done in the past and seeing like I couldn't imagine what a Rocksteady Suicide Squad on the surface sounds cool. That sounds like a good idea. I'd be into that as a video game. That as some sort of Avengers type game from Crystal Dynamics, if they're going that route, is a bummer to me because I feel like that studio does so well with what they've been doing as far as making single player games and like single player open world games.
I mean, that's kind of what like that's the problem Square's having with Avengers is they can't get people excited about it because everyone sees it as the long tail of the game and not like the main campaign. And they've not been I guess that'll change with like what are they calling it, Avengers Day, the thing later this month where they're actually showing off more of the game. Yeah. Like they've not been able to make the single player argument for it at all. So if they can do that, then I think that's great for that game. And I think if Rocksteady showed like if they did happen to be making a games as a service game, I don't know for a fact they are, all I like, but if they did, I think people would be like, okay, well what's the campaign like? And if they if the campaign is good, then great. But if it's a longer thing of this is a, you know, multiplayer game primarily, then I think people would be disappointed.
I also want to point out, right, this the DC fandom, again, is scheduled to happen in August. And I believe at the beginning of the year, me, Barrett, and I think Greg took bets on when we'd see WB Montreal's Batman game. And I believe my prediction was August. And so I need somebody to like look that up. I don't know if I should assign that to nanobiologists or somebody specific, but I want the proof, I want the receipts, and I want people to acknowledge that I am right about these predictions and I am killing it with the predictions this year. I'm just saying. Shit. Thank you, Kevin. Hold on. I appreciate it. Thank you, Kevin. Nice. Thank you. There it is.
The looking to side to side actually makes it like better, but also weird. And like it's an uncanny Kevin Valley in a weird way.
Oh God, uncanny Kevin Valley sounds like a YouTube series that I'd want to watch. Story
or like
number
a
two.
Really bad salad dressing.
Story number two. Nintendo Shadow dropped a free jump rope game. This is John Porter at The Verge. Jump Rope Challenge is a charming new free game from Nintendo that uses a pair of Joy-Cons to jump a virtual rope. You hold the Joy-Cons as though they're jump rope handles and swing them around as you jump. Jumping bunny rabbits show your progress on screen. The initial aim is to do 100 jumps a day, although this goal can be increased. It's a simple bit of exercise, but the big benefit is that the game doesn't require any additional accessories. In contrast to Nintendo's other recent exercise game, Ring Fit Adventure, has experienced big stock shortages as people turn to it as a way to work out at home. Other fitness equipment has seen a similar surge in demand, resulting in shortages. Nintendo says Jump Rope Challenge is the work of a small team of its developers working from home in Japan. As you'd expect, this also means it's got a fairly limited feature set. There's a simple two-player mode where each person holds a single Joy-Con controller, and you can customize your bunny's clothes on the fly. You can technically cheat the system a bit by bending your knees rather than jumping, but ultimately, it's a similar amount of effort. And Nintendo points out that it's a great way for people who would otherwise struggle to jump to enjoy the game. Quote, "It's all the fun of jumping, but there's not a rope in sight," Nintendo says. Jump Rope Challenge will be available for a limited time until the end of September from the Nintendo Switch's eShop. Imran, did you catch this as it was happening last night?
I saw it happening. At first, I thought it was like a joke of like, oh, yeah, seems like a funny thing Nintendo would do, haha. And then I saw the actual screenshots. I'm like, somebody went through a lot of effort to do this. And then I realized it was actually real. Which, it's not a bad thing. It's just weird to just suddenly drop.
I love it as like a cool little thing, right? Like, There's a bunch of shortages of Ring Fit Adventure. There's a bunch of shortages on workout equipment in general, as this article points out. And yeah, where people are kind of dying to get their hands on something like Ring Fit Adventure, and where Nintendo can kind of see that firsthand, it seems pretty cool to give people a free alternative It's interesting that it's only available until the end of September, which I imagine is because this is supposed to be like a stand-in for what Ring Fit would be for them. Mm-hmm. But you know, even with that being the case, I mean, I think it's a cool why not sort of thing. Like, it's a cool kind of hey, we can, like, we have a small team of people that can work on this and can make it probably pretty easily. Let's make it, let's put it out there, and let's allow people to be able to use it for their own benefit.
Yeah, like with the Ring Fit Adventure, they had that rhythm game DLC, which is like, it's cool that they can just sort of add these things. But again, like the article pointed out, that game is hard to get for a lot of people. So it makes mm-hmm. sense to, if you have Joy-Cons, you might as well do this. This is a nice way to get fit. I feel very bad for anyone who lives underneath anyone that has this and wants to do it. Because
that's the main issue I have right now. That's the main issue I have is that I live on a second floor, and Kevin, you can probably tell me better than I know.
So
I'm sure
you're above a garage. You know that, right?
I know I'm above fine. A garage, but can they hear me though?
No, unless you go what? To the two other rooms, you're not above.
Okay,
it. You're totally fine.
I might go crazy.
In which case, just talk to them. Just ask. Just be like, hey, Aaron.
But like, what did that conversation
noise?
Look like?
But
hey, Carol,
man,
can
hey,
I want to jump up and down in my room for an hour a day. Like,
exactly,
I feel like
man.
A,
be like, hey,
such
man,
an awkward conversation to have.
I'm trying to do that exercise and stay fit.
I don't know, man. It just feels like just a weird conversation to have. Trying to explain this Nintendo technology to your
go
readers,
up to them
you know?
And say it's all the fun of jumping, but there's not a rope in sight, and they will understand.
But yeah, I downloaded it and I started like using it this morning, and it was one of those things where I was kind of self-conscious because I could feel myself like making noise, mm-hmm. Or like making the ground shake. And I know I'm above a garage, but I just don't know how much that sound travels. And so thanks for that clarification, Kevin, that they probably can't hear me. I appreciate it.
But I'm just saying, communicate, man. It's the solution.
I'm such a bad
for
communicator,
love
though.
And sex stuff. You got to learn, man. We got to do it together.
Yeah, but
I do
I'm
think
shy,
it's like-
Kevin.
It does make sense to talk to your like neighbors or landlords or whoever and say, hey, I need to exercise occasionally. We're all quarantined. This is the way I'm going to exercise. I think people would understand.
I also could just go in like the front yard and just jump rope on the street or whatever. Or not on the street, but like in the driveway.
You
but
look like
there's
a fucking
rope.
Psychopath. Don't do that. That's insane.
I guess theoretically, you could take your Switch out somewhere with you and like
yeah.
put it up and like just jump rope.
He's like,
what is
literally
wrong
has
with
stand.
You guys? There's a pandemic.
We have a backyard. Story number three. A new Kingdom Hearts game has been announced. This is Adam Bankhurst at IGN. And Kevin, I have a trailer in the dock if you could play it as we're making our way through the story, because this is an interesting one. Square
so,
Enix
wait,
has
I'm
announced...
Sorry. You're cool if it's muted, or...?
If it's muted, it's fine, yeah.
Alright.
Square Enix has announced Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, a rhythm game coming to Nintendo Switch, PS4, and Xbox One later this year. The announcement trailer shows Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory in action, and it looks to feature character designs and gameplay that is similar in form to Square Enix's Final Fantasy Thiatrhythm. Did I say that right, Imran? Are you familiar with Thiatrhythm?
I've never had to pronounce it out loud. I think maybe I'd say Thiatrhythm.
Thiatrhythm.
The joke in it is supposed to be that the AT stands for active time, so it's supposed to be like
oh,
the AT
get
rhythm.
Out of here.
That's the intended joke. I don't think it plays very well in any language.
What Square Enix, man. I'm not going to hate, but get out of here. But yeah, similar in form to Square Enix's Final Fantasy Fiat Rhythm game. The trailer showcases not only Sora, Donald, and Goofy, but Riku, Kairi, Hercules, Aladdin, and other fan favorite characters from the Kingdom Hearts franchise. Imran, you're Kingdom Hearts fan number one here. What does this do for you?
Honestly, not that much. Like, I like Kingdom Hearts music, but a lot of it's licensed. Like, if you're telling me that, oh, the Colosseum theme is going to be playable, I'm like, the Colosseum theme sucks. Like, it's not a good, it's not a good track, and I only think of that one part of it, and then I hate it. But like, I think of the Frozen music is pretty good. The This Is Halloween is pretty good, and those are all Disney things.
Do you think they're gonna have those?
No,
because I can't imagine. Yeah, I couldn't imagine that they would be able to pull those for their own rhythm game.
If they can, then like amazing. But I don't think they will.
What the hell's going on in the trailer? It went from look at this rhythm game to like, oh, it's first person. Now you're like this dark world.
Because
I'm gonna be honest, I watched the trailer. I don't recall any of this.
They know no one's gonna buy it unless it has some Kingdom Hearts bullshit in there to like it's going to be that one thing that you play Kingdom Hearts 4. It's like, oh, there's this big scene based around this part of what was this called? Something of Melody. Melody of Memory. And like, you're not going to understand it unless you've played that game.
Yeah. So like looking at gameplay right now, right? It looks like you have characters on different lanes and you're essentially switching back and forth. Or I guess
like Amplitude.
Okay. Yeah. It looks similar to something like Amplitude where it is lane based and you are, you're basically fighting enemies to the beat is what it looks like.
Yeah,
which looks cool. It kind of looks like a PS2 game, if I'm being honest, from like the actual character models. But like, I also don't have much of a problem with that.
The models overlaid on video is like the cheapest looking thing.
Yeah,
like
it looks very cheap
when they're in just like a normal world. I'm like, okay, yeah, that looks okay. When it's like them on top of video, it's like, oh, this looks bad.
Yeah. That's kind of the vibes I'm getting, but I'm not necessarily the Kingdom Hearts person, and so I'm not. Yeah, this isn't necessarily marketed. It's not necessarily marketed towards me, but Imran, I assume you're going to get it as a Kingdom Hearts fan.
I'm going to play it, and because I do expect there's going to be like one story thing that they need later. But yeah, I think I would have preferred it if they just made a theater rhythm style game, like if it just looked exactly like that, and what it like. I don't know. Whatever. It's. We'll see what the track list is, and then I'll be excited or dismissive.
I mean, it might have like a bunch of Hikaru songs, which like those are always jams, right?
If they like, put in every single intro, like every variation of it, I'd be pretty down.
Yeah, like that'd be a great soundtrack right there.
Yeah.
Story number 4. That itch.io bundle raised $8.1 million. This is from Matthew Handrahan at gamesindustry.biz. The itch.io bundle for racial justice and equality has raised more than $8.1 million for charities related to the Black Lives Matter movement. The bundle was on sale for 10 days, in which it was purchased by around 810,000 people for an average of $10. The $8.1 million raised represented 163% of its $5 million target. While the amount raised is huge, the bundle was also notable for what it contained. 1,704 games from 1,361 individual creators, which could be purchased for as little as $5. That included many high-profile independent titles, including Night in the Woods and Overland from Finji, Matt Makes Games' Celeste, and Laundry Bear Games' A Mortician's Tale. Quote, "We live in a time of racial injustice, inequality, and police brutality against Black people," itch.io said in a statement. They continue, "We hope that everyone takes a stand in any way they can," end quote. This is one of the largest donations made by the games industry in support of Black Lives Matter since the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minnesota police on May 25th. This is awesome to see. Like, mm-hmm. Every time I've seen the updates on the itch.io bundle and seeing that they've been adding more and more games to the point where they went from about, like, I think over 700 to now over 1,700. That's a wild bundle. Like, that's the craziest bundle I've ever seen in my life in terms of video games. And like, you know, they highlight some of the games here, but it goes way deeper than that, right? Like, you have games like Kids. You have, man, there are quite a few games in there that were like standout that I can't think of off the top because there are a lot of them.
Every time I open the list, like, because I bought the bundle too, every time I open the list to look at the games and be like, oh, I wonder what I should play, I get, like, overwhelmed and then tired. And be like, I will look at this another time. Because there's a ton of games, like, they're not, like, bad games at all. They're all amazing games. Or not all, like, amazing, but, like, a good number of amazing
games. There's a good number of amazing games. Like, there's Minute in there now that I'm remembering. Minute, 2064, Read Only Memories. One Night Stand is in there, which I believe was part of a Kind of Funny Game showcase. I think last year or at least recently. There's quite a few games in there where for Celeste alone is worth more than $5, right? Yeah. Celeste alone is a game that I'd buy for way more than $5. And there's multiple of those in there, multiple games of that caliber in there. And so as a bundle, it's incredible. But yeah, as even more so, the amount of money raised toward supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, $8.1 million is a great success. So shout out to that.
I also like that the average donation was $10. So everyone saw like the minimum price they could get, which was not everyone, but like most people saw the minimum price they could get it for, which is $5 for this deal is insane. Yeah. But they went like, okay, no, this is for charity. We want to do something good. So they raised their own donation a decent bit.
Yeah, which is super awesome to see again.
Yeah, this is a fantastic cause and a fantastic bundle. And if you missed out, that's sad for you. But if you didn't, now you have a backlog that's going to stretch for years.
Yeah, because I'm like, now I've like opened it up and I'm scrolling through and I'm like, dude, Nuclear Throne is in there. Piku Niku is in there. Like, Oxenfree. There are quite a few games that are noteworthy in here that for $5 as a bundle is really, really good.
Yeah.
A Normal Lost Phone, which I've heard Jerry Petty talk about. Some very good games in there.
Yeah, it is enough. Like, there's a number of like small games in there. So even if you're just like, hey, I'm bored and I have 30 minutes, you can go through that list and find something amazing that will fill up the 30 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. And that I can even attest to, right? Like, I've downloaded probably 3 or 4 games so far. And I started up A Short Hike, which is a game that is not too long. And I haven't played it all the way through yet, but I just messed around with it. And even there, I was like, yeah, this game seems really cool. I know a bunch of people love A Short Hike. But be able to have just a huge library of games now they can jump in and have fun with and jump out, even if it is for 30 minutes, an hour, 3 hours, whatever, like, that's really cool.
Yeah. Good on them. I was going to say, I hope they do this kind of thing again, but I hope they don't need to do this kind of thing again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. For sure. Story number 5, PAX Australia has been canceled. This is Matthew Handrahan at gamesindustry.biz. PAX Australia is the latest consumer games event to be canceled due to COVID-19. The annual event was due to take place in Melbourne, Australia from October 9th to 11th this year. However, the organizer has confirmed a postponement due to the impact of COVID-19. While a statement released by the PAX Australia team describes it as postponed, it makes clear that the next edition of PAX Australia will now take place in 2021. At the time of writing, PAX West was still due to go ahead despite taking place in early September and being held in the U.S., which has a substantially worse record with COVID-19 than Australia. So there's your COVID update. As far as like big cons happening this year, right? Like, it's pretty much a wash. And so this isn't surprising. It's still a little bit surprising to me that PAX West hasn't been canceled. And I've been attributing that to like
Seattle has bigger problems.
Yes. Yeah, like, I've been attributing that to like Seattle and like them. Like, it's probably a facility thing, a convention center thing. Like, they're probably waiting for the city to cancel it before they cancel it so that they can get their money back or something along those lines. It's still surprising to me that they haven't done it yet, because I feel like for everybody involved, it should be very clear that you cannot hold PAX West this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, they haven't sold tickets, and they would have usually sold them by like early May, unusual years. So I think they know it's not going to happen. But they're waiting for the force majeure, which is like the city canceling it for them.
Yes.
I wonder if it's Seattle and PAX like having a standoff because Seattle wants it. Like, conventions like PAX make big money for the city. So I bet they do want it there, even if it does, like, it's not super safe to do so. And they're kind of hoping that like by September, the whole thing is blown over. But it's not. Like, I love PAX. That is a yearly ritual for me, is to go up to Seattle and hang out with friends and play board games and do PAX. And like, sometimes I work it, sometimes I don't. But if they announce PAX West is still happening this year, and even if they announce all my friends were going, I would not go. It's too dangerous. It's too risky. That is the number one way that like you're most likely to catch something, is by being in that like massive humanity that is PAX. To me, the question isn't would I go to PAX this year? It is, what year would I be safe going to PAX? And I don't know that's going to be true for the next, maybe even not next year or the year after.
So I have this tweet that has just come to my attention. It's an update from PAX on Twitter, and they just tweeted this within the last hour. At PAX on Twitter tweeted this: in April, we were still hoping to bring you PAX West this year, but health and safety are paramount. And as we worked on solutions, it became clear that if we really wanted to welcome everybody home, we'd have to take PAX online. And then they posted the full post, which goes like this. Going digital means a lot more than just a change in venue. And by transcending the physical, in fact, we're able to do more PAX than ever. PAX Online is the result of the convention organizing supergroup made up of people responsible for PAX West, PAX Australia, as well as our new friends at EGX, to create our new PAX Online and deliver a steady 24/7 stream of content, events, discussions, and gameplay. And did we say 24/7? We actually meant 24/9, because we're going to be running this virtual shindig for 9 days straight, from September 12th to through the 20th. And then they go on to say they're going to have more information soon. But it sounds like here that PAX West is going online, and that we're actually not going to get the physical PAX West, which they've just announced. And so,
which is obviously the good thing to do, is you can't have it. It's gonna. I know people are sad, but you can't have that kind of convention this year, and most likely probably not in the near future.
Yeah, and I agree. Our last news story for today, story number 6, Pokemon News is coming tomorrow. This is from Pokemon's Twitter. At Pokemon tweeted this morning, "We have Pokemon News. You want Pokemon News?" And then they do like the thinking guy emoji. And they continue, "Sounds to us like you should tune in tomorrow at 6 a.m. Pacific time for hashtag Pokemon Presents. What do you think, trainers?" And then they link it and have the image with it. Imran, first of all, did you catch the tweet?
I did.
This morning.
That image looks a lot like a Nintendo Direct. Like, I guess this is branding, but it looks a lot like Nintendo Direct announcement.
It definitely has Nintendo Direct energy. Mm-hmm. What I want to know from you is, what do you expect? Because when I see this, I am very much reminded of, I think it was last year that they did their Pokemon like press conference thing where they announced Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon shirts. And it was like a very ridiculous kind of press event that like almost came off as like comedy when you watch the actual press event. This strikes me as that, because I went over to Nintendo's Twitter. Nintendo's tweeted nothing about it, which tells me that this is a specific Pokemon company initiative. What do you expect to see tomorrow from this?
So it comes out the same day as the DLC. So I think DLC will be out like tonight at midnight or something like that. So I imagine it's not about the first DLC, which is, by the way, a thing I've not seen anyone talk about. So I think it'll still sell well. I just don't think it's like a point of hype for a lot of people. Maybe it's about the next DLC as well. I do think, now that you reminded me of that one event, I think it'll be like, hey, here's merchandise. Here's like the next movie we're going to talk about. Here's things like that. Like an overall Pokemon thing, more than just like, here's stuff about games. Spinoffs seem likely too, like puzzle games, things like that. I don't think it'll be a thing that, like, unless you're really big into Pokemon, I really doubt it's a appointment viewing that you're going to have to like wake up at 6 a.m. to go see that thing. But who knows? Like, maybe it's a thing where there's something like, I don't know, Gold Silver Remix again. Who knows?
God, that would be amazing. But yeah, so the energy that I get from this tweet tells me that like it's not going to be solely DLC stuff. Like, I imagine this coming out the same day as the DLC kind of tells me that we'll get maybe some updates on Sword and Shield and what that DLC might have in there. But it just being called Pokemon Presents makes me think that it has to do with the wider brand, which makes me think like we might get a Pokemon Sleep update. Maybe we'll get the actual release for Pokemon Sleep. We might get merchandise stuff. Who knows?
They announced Detective Pikachu on Switch a year ago, and they haven't shown anything of it since.
That's a good point.
Maybe that's coming soon.
Yeah,
or maybe a new movie. Like they announced a sequel to Pikachu, didn't they? Or am I completely wrong?
Detective Pikachu?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of. As far as like,
maybe I'm thinking of Sonic. Sonic, they definitely announced a sequel, so maybe I'm just assuming that they announced a Detective Pikachu as well.
Yeah, I could see that happening. This seems to me though that Pokemon as a company, they kind of want to have their own directs and their own kind of presence in terms of making announcements and in terms of having their brand and controlling their brand. This seems to me as it's going to align with that. And so I'm curious on what tomorrow might be. I don't have my hopes up. I do expect Pokemon Sleep and like stuff of that caliber. But we'll see. We'll see, Imran.
Yeah, we'll see. I definitely... Pokemon is the biggest brand in the world, and it's weird that like when they announce things in our circles, it's a very like, okay, cool, we'll see. But there's, I'm sure, people who are like freaking out, and I'm sure it's all going to do quite well.
Imran, I'm excited to see what the big announcements are for tomorrow's Pokemon Presents. But tomorrow is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Kevin. Kevin. Out today, we got Darius Cosmic Collection Arcade for PS4 and Switch, Darius Cosmic Collection Console for PS4 and Switch, Colt Canyon for Xbox One, Summer in Mara for Switch and PC, The Waylanders for PC, Hardspace Shipbreaker for PC, Disintegration for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Desperados 3 for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Velocity for PC, Carrots and Cream for PC, Viticulture Essential Edition for PC and Mac, Choco Pixel 6 for PC, The Forgotten Land for PC, and Wardle for PC. And then today, Obsidian Entertainment launched a demo of its upcoming survival action game, Grounded. Fans registered to be an Xbox Insider now have the opportunity to explore the vast, beautiful, and dangerous world of Grounded in this 30-minute single-player demo, also available through Steam as part of the Steam Game Festival. And then Behavior Interactive and Konami Digital Entertainment are proud to announce that Silent Hill, the most recent chapter of the iconic asymmetrical 4v1 game Dead by Daylight, is now available on Steam, Windows Store, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch.
I kind of skimmed that last one at first. I was like very excited and then like confused for a second because I thought it was saying Silent Hill, the series, is coming to Steam. It's like, oh shit, finally. Then I was like, oh wait, no, it's
no. As I was reading through it, I was like, oh cool, new Silent Hill news, and then like it went on. I was like, oh yeah, I mean, nothing against it, like Dead by Daylight, because that sounds exciting, but yeah, the framing of it would make you think that we're getting a big new Silent Hill thing, which I guess technically we kind of are a little bit.
Yeah.
New dates: Duke Nukem 3D 20th Anniversary Edition World Tour is coming to Nintendo Switch on June 23rd. That's also a very long title for a game. Secret Government hits Early Access on June 22nd. And then Chover Saves the Universe is coming to Oculus Quest this Thursday on June 18th. Deal of the day: Kingdom Come is free on Steam on June 18th through 22nd. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, your support means the world to Kind of Funny. Because of you, the audience, Kind of Funny is able to do cool things like launch a new studio, have full Last of Us playthroughs with Nick Scarpino, have awesome guest weeks on Kind of Funny Games Daily, launch shows like the return of PSLFU XOXO, and more. You can head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to support Kind of Funny Games Daily and all the content we produce on this side of Kind of Funny. And you can gain special perks like exclusive content, becoming a Patreon producer, and more. Once again, just go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to support the show and learn more about what we have to offer. Imran. Gotta wait on the response. Imran.
Oh, hi. Yes, hello.
Ben Gomez writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey KFGD crew, hope everything is well. I need some advice. After the PS5 reveal event, I'm hyped for the PS5, but due to life, I had to sell my PS4 in 2018. So because of that, I never played God of War, Spider-Man, or Horizon. Should I wait until the PS5 and hope for backwards compatibility and play them on PS5, or buy a PS4 now and play those games, including The Last of Us Part 2, now leading up to next gen? Much love to everyone at Kind of Funny."
If you're going to buy a PS5, then wait. Like, if you know for a fact you're going to buy a PS5 and you know you probably will be able to get one at launch, then there's literally no reason, unless you have to be a part of the conversation, which is like a bad reason to do it. But yeah, I would wait, because those games are at minimum, they will be on a system you're going to own. If they're better, then great. That just adds to it. But I don't think there's any reason to buy a PS4 for single player games right this second if you can wait for it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think if you're going to get a PS5, just wait for the PS5, because those games are going to be boosted anyway. Those games are going to run better likely on PS5. And so if you're going to get a PS5, they've already said it's going to be back compatible also. And so there's really no risk in waiting. And it's only probably about five months until we get the PS5. And so I'd say wait. I think waiting is the easiest option and the best option here. And you save money that way.
There are games that might slip through the backwards compatibility net, but they're not going to be first party Sony titles. They're going to be like indie games that are on every system most likely. But Spider-Man is obviously going to be one that's going to work on the PS5 natively.
Michael S. writes in and says, with the third-party reveal event for Xbox and now the PS5 reveal event both completed, do you believe Xbox is held to a higher standard by the gaming community than PlayStation based on how this generation has gone? Rewatching the reveals, Greg literally held up a sign saying boo at the end of the Assassin's Creed gameplay reveal in the Xbox event. While in my opinion, I would say that the gameplay was on par as most of the gameplay that was shown during the PlayStation event. I believe the only PlayStation 5 game we saw with a HUD was Ratchet and Clank, whereas the Kinda Funny team kept saying HUDs were important for gameplay in the Xbox event. And Ron, do you think we hold Xbox to a higher standard when it comes to these things?
Yes and no. I think he's kind of I think Michael S. is kind of right that we did hold that event up to a higher standard because it was the first event. It was the first one that we're going to see next-gen gameplay reveal. And a lot of our disappointment with that was based on disappointment for it not blowing us away with, like, we expected next-gen, the first next-gen thing you see to be the thing that really, like, blows it out of the water. So, yes, to that extent, I do believe it was a little unfair to Microsoft of how people react to that event. That said, it was also a bad event. It was also, like, they focused primarily on titles that didn't really impress visually, that didn't really impress on even a gameplay level. Like, I don't agree with Michael S.'s assertion that we didn't see that much gameplay in the PS5 reveal. We did. It's just, it was HUDless because that's the way they want it to look. And maybe HUDs aren't finalized yet. It may be just a marketing reason. But usually you can tell when's gameplay and when it's not. I think Microsoft erred by trying to separate out the third party and the first party stuff, because if you did do that same event, but you just sandwiched that between like Halo and whatever Fable, then I think people would be more interested in it. I think it would have been a more marketable thing to throw out there. I don't think Microsoft has held it to a higher standard because like it's Microsoft and we're holding Sony to a lower one. I think Microsoft has held to a higher standard because Microsoft has more to prove. They've been kind of catching up from behind in a lot of things, like first party software. So when they show like, hey, if their entire marketing pitch is we're the third party system, third party games will run best here, and you don't show a lot of interesting third party games, then your entire pitch falls flat. So they have to come at it next time with when their first party pitch of, okay, yeah, we're not just a third party system. Also, we have exclusives that will be interesting to you. And that, I think, is going to be a bigger test for them. And if they do knock that one out of the park, which, who knows, they might, then I think people will forget about the fact that the first one didn't look that great.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. When I think about the Xbox event, the thing that went wrong for me is I think they mismanaged expectations on what we, like the caliber of announcements we could expect from it. Like when you come out and say, hey, this is the first showcase of next generation gameplay, and you're gonna get gameplay after gameplay, right? And they show us what they showed us. Like, technically, they weren't wrong, right? Like, technically, like we did get gameplay of next gen games, but none of the announcements really spoke to us on a like next gen gameplay level.
Yeah.
Nor did they speak to us on a these are exciting games level. Like, and that's not necessarily even taken away from the games they showed, because the games like Bright Memory Infinite, I'm excited for. Like, that game looks cool to me. It doesn't get me as excited as Deathloop, though. Like,
yes.
And that's not to like add to Deathloop, and that's not to take away from Bright Memory Infinite. It's just like there's different expectations there as far as the amount of weight that a game like Deathloop, that is a game coming from Arkane Studios, which we have a history with, coming out of Bethesda, all these things, has awesome gameplay, or had an awesome gameplay reveal. Like the weight that we have on both those announcements, I think, just holds differently, right? And I'm looking at a list right now of the different games that were at that Inside Xbox event, and it's I'm looking at game. I'm looking at Call of the Sea, and I couldn't tell you what that game looks like right now. Like Call of the Sea was which
none
which
of these titles are coming up to my like. I cannot visualize what you're talking about for these games.
Yeah, like they had Chorus, which I remember there being a game called Chorus, and I remember watching, and I think that was the one that actually had like the gothic kind of stuff going on with it. But like, I couldn't really tell you much about Chorus other than we saw a trailer for it, right? Like Dirt 5 is cool. Scarlet Nexus, you know, it's cool. Like Scorn, it's cool. Like these are games that they're worth seeing because, you know, people are working on these games and for the most part, like these games seem interesting, but when you compare them to games like Ratchet and Clank or Hitman 3 or Spider-Man Miles Morales or Solar Ash or Horizon, right? Like I feel like the games in the PlayStation 5 reveal were just set up way more to succeed. One, because they Sony didn't necessarily limit themselves in terms of games. They didn't come out and go solely third party, and they didn't come out and go solely first party, right? It was more of an all-encompassing event, way more so than the Xbox event. And so when we go into the PlayStation 5 reveal and we see first party games, we see a bunch of exclusives, we see some third party games, and we see the two boxes that they have, right? Like that's big. Like that's all bigger news than what was shown to us at that Microsoft event. Granted, the Microsoft event wasn't necessarily built as what the PlayStation event was, but I think there was the mismanaging of expectations on the side of Microsoft. And we're gonna see, right? We're gonna see in July for what their first party showing is, and we're gonna see soon, like in terms of what their big showcase is for the box. You know, and when they show off Lockhart and what all that stuff looks like. I think we're going to get there with Xbox, but in terms of how they are, both companies are pacing out their reveals and pacing out how they are handing out information to the audience, right? Like PlayStation 5 or the PlayStation 5 event did it in just a bigger way that hit harder because they were able to kind of back up the expectations with their actual announcements and their actual showing in a way that the Microsoft conference or Microsoft Inside Xbox show didn't. And so to the original question of do we have higher standards for Xbox, honestly, like I think I agree with Imran that yeah, we do, because they have more to prove. And I think to be fair to Xbox, they've been proving that over the last few years with services, with acquisitions of studios, with a bunch of moves they've been making over the last few years. But right now is kind of the critical time for them where they really, really, really need to stick the landing because they're ramping up to the new box. And that's kind of where things went wrong for them last time. And to that end,
if they had said like from the beginning, of the Inside Xbox, every game you see today will be on Game Pass day one, like that would have been huge. That would have been like, okay, yeah, yes. Like I'm not that impressed by like this weird game, this weird horror game, but you know, I play at launch. Or, oh yeah, like they didn't show much Assassin's Creed, but I'm going to get it with my subscription anyway, so who really cares? I'll play it in a couple of months. But the fact that they hung their hat on Assassin's Creed and said, we're going to show gameplay of this game at this event, and then there was, like, no gameplay, that's what I think... It's really hard to unring a bell. And Microsoft is learning that lesson. And I think by the next event, maybe we'll forget about this, like, kind of misstep, but... Yeah, if you just compare the first two events against each other, it's not a contest, honestly.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfair because like you can kind of see that they had two different goals with both those events.
But I don't think that's unfair. I think that's their fault. I think they made an event that was a reveal of their console that was not impressive.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with that. What do you think we're going to get from this first party reveal event that they do in July? Do you think we're going to get to see what everybody's working on, or do you think it might underwhelm us? Like that's my fear, is that they advertise it as a first party exclusive kind of event, and there's not enough there because you can't imagine they're going to show us literally everything they have that they're working on.
I think if they have more studios that they've bought, this would be a great time to announce that. I think it's very likely that we'll see... Well, we already know Ninja Theory is working on Hellblade. So the other studios they've got, we'll probably see the Initiative game, and hopefully that like impresses. But I think the wisest thing for Microsoft to do is to go, we're not going to make the same mistakes we made last time. we're not going to like just rely on a couple of games with the titles of which you already know. So why don't, I think I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I think Microsoft might learn a good lesson from Marvel in that the way Marvel announces movies, I think that would work well for the way Microsoft should announce games. I think they should, like, we're committing to a very big first-party slate. So here's a list of the games that we're working on. Like, throw the secrecy of the video game industry in the trash and say, here's the timeline that we're planning for Perfect Dark for 2022. We're planning for Fable for 2023. Like, that kind of thing. It may piss some people off and be like, oh, God, these games are so far away. But I think it does a good job of showing how committed they are to this new system and showing what they believe their capability of like creating a first party portfolio actually is.
Yeah, I hope so, man, because I think that would be awesome. I think that would be the key for them to really come out and really impress people is to have that kind of timeline. I don't know if they'd be willing to because of how like murky the games industry can be in terms of wanting to announce games or wanting to or can be murky in terms of wanting to keep that information to the chest because you don't know which direction a game development might take if you announce something that is like 3 or 4 years away. But I think on the Microsoft side, like I think that could do them such a good service if they were like, hey, here's Xbox for the next 3 to 4 years. Like, here's everything we have working on. Here are all our different studios. Here's what you can expect from us. I think that clarity could do a lot for them if it looks good, right? Like, yeah. if they're confident in what the next 3 or 4 years looks like for them.
Because, like, they have commitment problems. Like, Xbox One, they announced a Fable game at the reveal, and that game never came out. They announced Scalebound, they canceled it. They announced Phantom Dust, they canceled it. They announced other things, and just those games.
God, I miss Scalebound.
Like, it's... This would do a good job of saying, hey, we're in this for the long haul. Don't worry about it. We know why currently you like Sony's output better than ours, but we want to make a compelling case for why you should stick to Microsoft. And if they can do that, then great. But it'll take a bold move, and whether or not July will be that time for that bold move is a completely different question, honestly.
Now it's time to squad up. Penultimate Conquest writes in and says, hey, KFGD crew, I'm looking for some best friends to play Warzone with. I'm usually online after 6 p.m. Eastern time, so if you're cool with me streaming, feel free to add me. You can add Penultimate Conquest on Activision with the username SleeperTechDub. That's all one word, SleeperTechDub.
T-E-C-H.
Spelled exactly. T-E-C-H. So yeah. Spelled how it sounds. SleeperTechDub. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Nailbologist says, well, people were writing and talking about the PAX West stuff that was breaking as we started the show. Dan H says, Jason Schreier reported that Rocksteady and WB Montreal's games were going to be shown together at E3. So it's not impossible they show them both now, which would be interesting. Be very interesting. Nail Biologist says the Avengers game event is called the Avengers War Table Stream. And that's happening on June 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Ray says they play the Frozen World music in the trailer, which is pretty cool.
Maybe not all
hope is lost.
Like, this is Halloween is my, like, that's the defining line. If that's not in there, then I don't care. But if it isn't there, then cool. I'm into it.
I want that snowman song, man. Would you like to build a snowman? That was always my jam from Frozen. I always appreciated that one.
I've never heard anyone say that's their favorite song from Frozen. Like, I've heard some disagreement.
It's because everybody goes to Let It Go. And I'm like, guys, I get it. Let It Go is a fantastic song. But, like, do you want to build a snowman? Oh, man, that thing's a slapper. As soon as I heard that song, I was like, this is going to be a classic. I can see a future for this movie. This movie is going to go hard in the box office.
Have you seen Frozen 2 out of curiosity?
No, I've not. I've been wanting to watch it, but I've been holding it so I can watch it with friends.
Okay. It's a very anticlimactic movie.
Oh no. But don't tell me that.
I'm curious what your thoughts are when you actually do end up watching it. Nintendo did retweet the Pokemon announcement, for the record.
Oh, well, there you go.
So yeah, and people are saying it's the Japanese tweet mentioned it's more about the expansion pass. So I guess that's what, mostly what we're looking for. I guess they got to detail the next one as well, so people buy the pass.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Matt the Wob says, not really, you're wrong, just additional information, but Melody of Memories is going to have online and will have over 140 tracks, which is really
yeah, exciting. 140 is a decent one. A decent track number for a rhythm game.
And then last one from Nanobiologist. The game Detective Pikachu got a sequel announced last year during the same type of Pokemon event, not the movie. And that's kind of what I was thinking, but I wasn't like positive. But yeah, I think like the Detective Pikachu game definitely did get a sequel, or it yeah. definitely get did get announced a sequel.
A couple people are saying that like the movie is getting a sequel is in the works, but it's not been like officially announced.
Yet. Well, that's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tomorrow's hosts are Greg and Gary Witta for Witta Wednesday. And of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, till next time, Game Daily.